It's the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO. Talk Radio 103.7 FM and AM 710. 2 hours of thought, opinion, and commentary from the Kansas Secretary of State. Call Chris now at 576-7710.
I can't believe.
Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Turning the page now, the latest development in the gun rights element of the presidential campaign. On Friday, Donald Trump addressed the National Rifle Association big conference in Louisville, Kentucky, and Trump got the endorsement of the NRA. No surprise there. And full disclosure, I am an NRA member. Indeed, I'm a lifetime NRA member, so you know where I'm coming from, but if you're a longtime listener of the Chris Kobach Show, you've known that for a long time. Is that redundant? No, that's not redundant. Anyway, Trump was there speaking on behalf of gun owners, and he said a couple of things that were really good news to hear. He said he calls for ending gun-free zones across the country. Of course, that's going to be mostly a states' rights issue because the states will define whether concealed carry is allowed in places like a university and such. And it is absolutely true that gun-free zones in America are also known as places where sitting ducks are located. But I digress. Well, maybe not. I'm not digressing. We can talk about that. And the other thing he said was that his list of Supreme Court justices, which he unveiled, we might talk about that too tonight if we have time. His list of Supreme Court justices includes people, potential Supreme Court justices, includes people who will protect the right to keep and bear arms, who will be like Justice Scalia, writing that awesome opinion in D.C. versus Heller, 2008. If you haven't ever read a Supreme Court opinion, this is the one you need to read. District of Columbia versus Heller, H-E-L-L-E-R. Google it, read it. It's awesome. Anyway, he also said that he'd like to see the list of candidates Hillary would put together. He said it'd be night and day. And I'm sure he was right when he said Hillary's list of potential Supreme Court nominees would be people very hostile to gun ownership. And Trump also mentioned that he himself has a concealed carry permit. All good stuff. If you are a gun owner and you'd like to see Donald Trump president, it's reinforcing what we've always known. He is one who will protect our rights. Well, anyway, Hillary Clinton didn't like any of this. And meanwhile, he was addressing the NRA. Hillary Clinton was addressing, I just want to get this right here, the Trayvon Martin Foundation. Yeah, that Trayvon Martin. Ostensibly the purpose is to help families of gun violence, the victims of gun violence. But, you know, I mean, Trayvon Martin, is that the model of the family you're helping? If you were helping victims generally, that would be different, but then you probably wouldn't name it the Trayvon Martin. Anyway, that's who she was addressing, and it was an organization that is opposed to gun ownership. Let's just put it that way. And as you can imagine, they see people who are not police officers using guns, because that certainly was the case in Trayvon Martin's, in the incident that led to his death, where he was, well, we won't go into that right now. Anyway, so maybe that's the purpose of it. They're just against people who are carrying guns and using guns to defend themselves. Well, she said that a Trump presidency would put more children at risk of violence and bigotry. Go figure. Not quite sure how that works, but she had all kinds of things to say about Donald Trump. Let's see, do we have the audio ready on this one? Okay, here's a clip from talking to the Trayvon Martin Foundation.
Is wrong when so many parents live in fear that their child will be hurt or killed just for being a young black man in a hooded sweatshirt like Trayvon, or listening to music in a car like Jordan Davis, whose mother Lucy is here. Now, we know the gun lobby is powerful. I believe it's the most powerful lobby in Washington. And we know that some candidates will say or do anything to keep them happy. Just yesterday at the NRA's annual convention, Donald Trump said that in his very first hour as president, heaven forbid, he would overturn President Obama's actions to strengthen background checks. He'd mandate that every school in America allow guns in classrooms. Every school, he said. That idea isn't just way out there, it's dangerous. This is someone running to be president of the United States of America, a country facing a gun violence epidemic, and he's talking about more guns in our schools. He's talking about more hatred and division in our streets. If you want to imagine what Trump's America will look like, picture more kids at risk of violence and bigotry. Picture more anger and fear.
Okay.
Ask
well,
any.
There's only so much Hillary I can talk. It can tolerate. This, I mean, tolerate without just like wanting to tear my hair out. Oh, I can't, if she's president, can you imagine listening to her speak? I mean, Obama is bad enough if you're a conservative listening to him because of his kind of haughty, arrogant way of speaking. But she is grating. Oh, man. Anyway, so according to Hillary Clinton, she just evidently doesn't get the concept that if there's a bad guy who has a gun, the bad guy's not going to obey a sign that says, don't bring your guns in here, like, oh, I don't know, a school. And the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy. Entry thing that the left and Democrats in particular, and there are still a few pro-gun Democrats, but they are few in number, they just don't seem to understand. You cannot stop a gun with a phone call to the government protector who is a long way away. You need a good guy with a gun. And then her notion that by having more guns in the hands of law-abiding Americans, that creates hatred and division. What planet is she on? Since when does a gun cause hatred? This is such a revealing comment. I'll quote it directly. Quote, and he's talking about more guns in our schools. He's talking about more hatred and division in our streets. End quote. Okay, guns don't create division. Guns don't create hatred. Guns don't kill people. Criminals kill people. Or, if you're a Democrat now in the Department of Justice, justice-involved people kill people. That's how people are murdered. The guns are not animate. They are inanimate tools that are more advanced than inanimate tools like swords and arrows and crossbows and axes and whatever else a criminal might use. Democrats seem to have this notion that guns will just leap up and start controlling people, and that that a gun in the hand of a law-abiding person is a dangerous thing because that law-abiding person is not going to be able to control himself. I guess it goes back to the thing we started this show talking about. Democrats don't see people as being responsible. They're not responsible for committing crimes, and so therefore the left wants to get rid of the term criminal, and they're not responsible for good conduct either. They can't believe that a law-abiding person is responsible enough to handle a gun to defend himself and others. People aren't responsible either way. What do you need? You need the nanny state. You need the ultimate nanny in her pantsuit. You need Hillary Clinton to protect you and all of her Democrat minions in Congress to protect you by writing laws and having big bureaucracies that will come in and protect you when you've made a mistake and committed a crime and will not put you behind bars, but will coddle you and will protect you when you haven't earned enough money to feed yourself, because the nanny will feed you and you will vote for the nanny and her party. I mean, it's all about responsibility. It's amazing how these issues link together. Tell me if I'm wrong. This has just occurred to me, but it's all about personal responsibility. And the Democrats, the anti-gun Democrats, believe that guns somehow cause hatred. if you possess a gun, you must be a more hateful person than you were before you bought the gun. 576-7710. What do you think about Hillary's attacks on Trump's speech? You know, she was basically reacting to his speaking before the NRA. And what do you think about Trump's statements to the NRA? 576-7710 is the number to reach the Chris Kobach Show. 576-7710. We'll take your calls when we return to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
Visit OverheadDoorKansasCity.com or call 816-512-1512.
2016 began with a spate of weak economic data for the U.S., and that's jolted every market. But we've had much less frightening data lately. So is the economy really slowing down? My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the Capitalist Pigs radio show. To be honest, the economy has already slowed down and different parts of the U.S. economy are arguably already in a recession. Investors need an approach to growth investing that can perform regardless of the health of the economy. And that's exactly what our all-weather growth portfolio aspires to do. The combination of trend following, the ability to bet against markets, and extreme diversification provide the best chance for investors to navigate any economy, expansion or recession, and in any stock market environment, bull or bear. You can learn more about our all-weather approach by downloading our free report at investontrack.com. Again, the website, investontrack.com.
What is it about buying a mattress that leaves you feeling violated? Is it the pushy salespeople, the fake President's Day sale, or the fact that you know you'll regret what you bought as you do the walk of shame out of the mattress store? I'm here to tell you, those days are over. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, co-founder of Helix Sleep, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we create your custom sleep profile to build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Your mattress will arrive at your door in about a week, and shipping is 100% free. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free and give you a 100% refund, no questions asked. It's like it never happened. If you do love your new Helix mattress, keep it and your dignity. That's why everyone from GQ Magazine to Forbes are all talking about Helix Sleep. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
Carson in the morning.
If Rob Carson says that I support you, I mean, that's priceless. I mean, honestly, it's do or die. You don't kiss the ring of the old Carsoni here, you're done.
Are you sure it's not the kiss of death?
Yes.
I mean, I've known you for such a short amount of time.
Poison lipstick, yes.
Everybody you've supported, they go away. They go. They actually flame on them like spectacular.
Scott
fashion.
Walker will come back someday.
I mean, just since I've known you, you were originally Scott Walker. I love this guy.
Oh yeah.
There went his campaign.
Oh boy, I sure like that Carly Fiorina, man. Oh God,
took it out back and shot it.
Oh, Marco Rubio.
I went love to Marco
rally,
for a while.
I went to his rally. I guess I'll vote for Ted Cruz then. I mean, what the heck? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, no. Oh, he's all over me now. Oh, my God. Give me a towel. I think I got some of him in my mouth here when he blew up.
Carson in the morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. Carson in the morning.
The Go Bowling 400, Kyle Busch pulled out the win. Apparently, he took the lead on lap 231 out of 267.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Can't say enough about Interstate. Boss Energy Drink, Toyota, of course, Sprint, and what they do for our sport.
Gotta thank the sponsors, right?
The fans, too. And
All right. I can't. That's the problem with that sport. The sponsorships are out of control. Yeah. What should be an authentic moment.
Yeah.
Hey, I just gotta give it up. Man upstairs, also M&M, Coke, Pepsi, Budweiser.
And the fans.
Bushlight.
And the fans.
And my fans. And then my children. Also DeWalt.
Yeah.
Cobalt.
Yeah. Valvoline, my lovely wife.
Truex Jr., though, in the lead for almost the entire time. He got passed up by Kyle Busch. Here he is, apoplectic. He looks like he's about to cry.
It's frustrating when you've had it happen so many times in your career. I mean,
my tears are brought to you by Bass Pro Shop and the Visit Omaha Council.
Carson in the morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. Kansas City's severe weather radio station, KCMO.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710, where the number is 576-7710. All right, so we're talking now about Hillary Clinton's speech on Saturday to the Trayvon Martin Foundation in reaction to Trump's speech on Friday to the NRA. And you're catching all this here, maybe for the first time, on the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO, always on top of the weekend events in the news. Anyway, Hillary saying that she is much more, her policies with regard to guns are much better and will keep people safe, because apparently more guns, having more guns to defend the good guys and defend the children in the schools is a bad idea. Will up and take control of the people that are bearing them. And more guns means more hatred. Go figure. No, logic, strong point, but she did get through Wellesley College and Yale Law School. So somehow she used to be. That's why she says Donald Trump's less safe by having a more pro-gun White House. What do you think? 576-7710. Let's go to the phones. Next up is John in Kearney. Hey, John, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Hey Chris. I think most of the anti-gunners, or many of them, they know that what they say is not true. But governments grow by strife, be it internal to the country or external. I don't think they care how much crime there is and how many people get slaughtered. They do not want us empowered. I think that that's simple. That's their basic goal of most of them.
Really? So it's all about power. So how are Hillary's comments on the subject of guns serving that end then?
She besmirches gun owners by saying it brings us to strife and such. Anything to besmirch a gun owner is what she really wants. She wants people to think of gun owners as dangerous and what have you, just like they put them, try to put almost all right-wingers on terror lists and stuff like that.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting, John, that the Democrats used to actually go after gun owners when they were looking for the support of voters? Blue-collar workers are... Yeah. I wouldn't say disproportionately, but a large percentage of them are gun owners. And, they used to be a solid part of the Democrat block and the working class voter. It's like now the Democrats are just completely gone off the rails, and they are just going to criticize gun owners no matter what. They'll throw the tip of the hat to a hunter, and they'll say, well, having guns for hunting is okay, I guess. But everybody else, you don't need a gun.
Yeah, they do that. And, Reverend Hubert Humphrey, many times has stated absolutely his allegiance to the Second Amendment, and I believe that he meant it. He would not be allowed in the current Democrat Party. John Kennedy would not be allowed in the current Democrat Party. He was anti-communist and pro-America.
And a tax cutter as well.
Exactly. I also wonder sometimes if they're pushing the political correctness hasn't destroyed their own ability to think. I mean, that's a softer view than the earlier view, but I that might also be part of the problem.
Well, even if they are still thinking, if they're still thinking on the left, it's destroyed their ability to express their thoughts clearly because they have to use this gobbledygook of a language instead of plain English like the rest of us use.
Yeah. Hey, one quick, going back to the earlier subject, does that mean we can't refer to, I used to shoot with some LAPD guys when I lived in L.A., and they sometimes refer to people as perks, pukes, scumbags, and juvies. Does that mean you have to give up those terms too?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, now it's going to have to be poor, victimized individuals who just had a tough break in life. You'll have to come up with something. What'll it be? I can't think of a one-syllable way to describe that, but victims. They're all victims,
Yeah, I guess that's about it. Anyway, thanks for taking my call. Good show.
All right. Thanks, John. All right. Thank you. I appreciate the call as always. Okay. So this is this is where the left is on guns now. I mean, it really is amazing. Think about this. We just saw 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago? A short time ago, Hillary, Virginia, telling them essentially she wants to shut down coal. She was backpedaling from that, but she had made remarks saying that the coal mines are going to be shut down, so that they're all going to be retrained to do something else other than mine coal. It's like she's not even trying anymore for the working class blue collar vote. And I think Republicans should be jumping on that and saying, look, we'll take you. If you're a working man or working woman, and this is certainly my view of the Republican Party, we are your party. We are the party of work. The Democrats are the party of welfare, and we will protect your interests. And we will protect you against competition from illegal labor. We will do all of the things we can within the broader construct of free markets. So we might not support a government mandated minimum wage, but you know, we'll look after your rights, and we will look after your interests in a variety of ways. You know, I think the Republican Party, we should be running to the gap that the Democrats have left open whenever they offend working class people. And I think this is just one more example. Hillary goes to West Virginia and tells them, heck, yeah, I'm not worried about your coal mines. I'm going to shut them all down, in so many words. And then she tells gun owners, yeah, in so many words, you gun owners are responsible for more hatred and division on our streets because apparently gun ownership causes hatred and division. Go figure. It's as if she is ready to just go ahead and burn the bridge completely now, the bridge to working class Americans and the bridge working class Americans, not the ones on welfare. Ever takes West Virginia. I don't see how a Democrat speaking like that ever takes any state in the entire South. I don't see how a Democrat speaking like that takes large portions of Pennsylvania. There's a long tradition of hunting and gun ownership and just, you know, support for the gun rights for gun rights in Pennsylvania. I mean, I think, and of course, there's coal interest there too. I think Hillary's last 2 weeks of talking have put Pennsylvania closer and closer to the Republican column. And that's where I want to go next on the Chris Kobach Show. I want to talk about the polling. So if you heard during the news break, there are some recent polls out showing that she and Trump are neck and neck within 1% in Florida, and that there's a 5-point spread with Hillary ahead in Ohio. I don't believe that. I think Trump's going to take Ohio easily. But did you hear this one? So there is in the Washington Examiner talking about the Washington Post. In the WAPO, meaning Washington Post, poll, Trump 46%, Clinton 44%. Now, bear in mind that when you do a nationwide poll, it doesn't mean a whole lot. And I've said this before on the show. You've got to poll the swing states, you know. The fact that there are a gazillion voters who would vote for Hillary in California, and there are a much smaller number, but a lot of voters in Canada, or lump it all together, in the Midwest, who would vote for Trump, you know, doesn't mean that much, because we all know which way the states are going to go. We know Kansas and Nebraska and the Dakotas and Oklahoma and Texas. You can always draw that stripe right down America. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but going back about 30 years, from North Dakota all the way down to Texas, all those states will always go red. They always vote for the Republican. And, you know, California is now solidly in the Democrat. So polling people in our states doesn't really make sense. To know which way the presidential race is going to go, you need to poll people and focus on the polling in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, the swing states. Anyway, there is a nationwide poll that the Washington Post commissioned, and they, you know, it's their poll. And their poll of registered voters nationally shows Trump leads Hillary 46-44%. Yes, I'll say it again, 46-44%. And they tried to bury their own poll in the story, and this is what the Washington Examiner reports. It's about two paragraphs in, or yeah, 219 words in. Here's the sentence. At this point, the two candidates are in a statistical dead heat among registered voters, with Trump favored by 46% and Clinton favored by 44%. That represents an 11-point shift toward the presumptive Republican nominee since March. 11-point shift. Huge movement, or should I say huge movement, toward Trump. And the Washington Post buries its own poll in the story. Folks, we're going to see a lot more of this, because when you see polls like this, they generate their own momentum. The Democrats do not want that to happen, and the lefties in the media do not want that to happen. All right, let's talk about this all here on the Chris Kobach Show right after this break on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
Carson in the Morning.
Dale, welcome to the Carson in the Morning Show. What do you think?
Yeah, I think people could help sponsor the wall. That way we get it paid for. You know, like LifeLock could sponsor a section.
How about Chipotle?
Yeah.
This mile of keeping Mexicans on the other side of the wall brought to you by Ford Motor Company.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And on the other side, they could sponsor it too with all the companies that move there to save money.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dale. Good idea, buddy.
Let's get some natural tie-ins like Durex.
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 Yes.
Nothing gets past our barrier. Right? Tampax Pearl. Tampax Pearl. There will be no flow here. There will be no flow.
CBS News updates. In every direction, the way things stand, the race for president will be a real race. There's a new poll. CBS News elections director Anthony Salvato.
New CBS News battleground trackers find competitive races in both Ohio and Florida, traditional battleground states. Hillary Clinton with a 1-point narrow lead in Florida and a 5-point lead on Donald Trump in Ohio.
One finding is that both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump get about 1/4 to 1/3 of their support from people who just don't want the other candidate to win. Clinton on NBC.
A businessman just told me yesterday in Texas, he said, I'm a Republican. I've always voted Republican. I'm here giving you money, supporting you, because I do business all over the world, and I'm watching what this Trump effect is doing to our standing in the world.
Trump on Fox.
Our country right now has never been so divided as it is right now. We have a president who's a total divider, and Hillary is weak. She's a weak person.
KCMO weather from KCTV 5.
Your overnight forecast, skies turn mostly cloudy. We track rain moving in as soon as Monday morning. We'll fall to 64 degrees. 76 your high Monday. Scattered showers and storms for Monday. And then it turns pretty active over the next several days with several chances of rain with highs returning to the 80s. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Jesse Hawila.
Carson in the morning.
Why more women are letting their husbands cheat? Really?
What?
I mean, how often does this happen?
You see this, AshleyMadison.com?
No, I did not. You know, if my wife did this, I would be like that animal that's raised in captivity. When they take him out, they lift up the cage, and it just kind of sits there in the cage. That's what would happen to me. She'd be like, go cheat this weekend. And I would be. I'd be just like that animal, just cowering. I can't. I've never lived out there. It's been so long.
Carson in the morning. Weekday morning, 6 to 10. Carson in the morning.
If Rob Carson says that I support you, I mean, that's priceless. I mean, honestly, it's do or die. You don't kiss the ring of the old Carsoni here, you're done.
Are you sure it's not the kiss of death?
Yes.
I mean, I've known you for such a short amount of time.
Poison lipstick, yes.
Everybody you've supported, they go away. They actually flame out in like spectacular
Scott
fashion.
Walker will come back someday.
I mean, just since I've known you. You were originally Scott Walker. I love this guy.
Oh, yeah.
There went his campaign.
Oh, boy. I sure like that Carly Fiorina, man. Oh God.
Took it out back and shot it.
Oh, Marco Rubio.
You
I went
love
to
Marco
rally,
for a while.
I went to his rally. I guess I'll vote for Ted Cruz then. I mean, what the heck? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, no. Oh, he's all over me now. Oh, my God. Give me a towel. I think I got some of him in my mouth here when he blew up.
Carson in the morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. Carson in the morning.
The Go Bowling 400, Kyle Busch pulled out the win. Apparently, he took the lead on lap 231 out of 267.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Can't say enough about Interstate. Boss Energy Drink, Toyota, of course, Sprint, and what they do for our sport.
Gotta thank the sponsors, right?
The fans, too. And
All right. That's the problem with that sport. The sponsorships are out of control. Yeah. What should be an authentic moment.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got to give it up. Man upstairs, also M&M, Coke, Pepsi, Budweiser.
And the fans. And the fans.
And my fans. And then my children, also DeWalt, Cobalt.
Yeah. Valvoline, my lovely wife.
Truex Jr., though, in the lead for almost the entire time he got passed up by Kyle Busch. Here he is, apoplectic. He looks like he's about to cry.
It's frustrating when you've had it happen so many times in your career. I mean, I swear.
My tears are brought to you by Bass Pro Shop and the Visit Omaha Council.
Carson in the morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. This is KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk. Traffic and weather together first on the Fours.
and Kansas City's most stimulating talk all day. KCMO Kansas City.
KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now 103.7 FM. He's the ACLU's worst nightmare because he knows the Constitution and fights to keep them from making confetti of it. He's Chris Kobach. And this is the Chris Kobach Show.
Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Hillary Clinton comments to the Trayvon Martin Foundation, a foundation for people who are victims of gun violence, but seems to be mainly a foundation for people who are victims of gun violence at the hands of lawful gun owners. I don't know. Anyway, she was basically trying to rebut Donald Trump's comments to the NRA, Donald Trump getting the NRA endorsement and getting a resounding amount of support from the NRA for his statements that he'd like to see fewer gun-free zone areas. He obviously understands that when good guys have guns, that's makes it harder for bad guys to kill people. And he also let the audience know that he, too, is a concealed carry permit holder. And we see the latest news in national polls, again, which with the caveat, national polls aren't all that important, but they do show where the country is leaning. Trump is leading Clinton. The Washington Post's own poll shows a 2-point lead, 46-44. But this is pretty early. You know, I have been predicting for a long time that Trump will beat Clinton, and I think he's going to beat her. Resoundingly, it's not going to be a squeaker. It's going to be, it won't be a blowout. It won't be like Reagan in 1984 or Reagan in 1980 even. But it'll be a significant victory. It's not going to be, you know, nail biter to the end. I think he's going to win Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida. And there will be some surprise states that are in play, like New York will be in play, I think, for the first time in a long time. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see if I'm right or wrong. But the Washington Post trying to bury its own poll, showing that Trump is now ahead of Clinton by 2 points. All right, let's go back to the phones. What do you think about all this? 576-7710 is the number, 576-7710. Next up is Craig in Prairie Village. Hey, Craig, you're on with Chris Kobach.
Yeah, good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
I'd like to comment on this, Hillary and the guns. And my attitude is that the last 30, 40 years, the Democrats have controlled most major cities. And the inner city core is where, you know, 80-90% of the crimes committed, and the people in that district that have guns are the criminals, and they don't buy them legally. But the Democrats over this time frame have made it harder and harder for legal citizens, non-criminal citizens to get guns, and the non-criminal citizen in that inner city core also is at a financial, they don't have the financial means a lot of times to buy a gun, even if they want one, much less with the city trying to stop them. But those are the people that really need the gun, because crime is so rampant in there, they can't defend themselves, and if they stick up to a gang member, they're dead before the cops get there. You know, and
that's exactly right.
And so they talk about, you know, I can't think of the phrase where, I mean, they can't get witnesses to these crimes because they know if they do, they're going to be dead. And it's a very vicious and uncaring cycle that's going on while the Democrats are trying to say that the Republicans are the ones that are divisive. The Democrats are the ones that have created this hellhole for the inner city core, and they're just just making it carry on. And it just irritates me that we can't get some wordsmiths can convey this message in a better manner. I mean, you do everything you can, and I hear other people do it trying too, but something's just not catching on. Somehow we have to say that Second Amendment is for all citizens to be able to protect themselves from, you know, other people. You know, it's I really feel for the inner city. I do. You know, it's just.
Well, your words are powerful ones, Craig. I mean, let's remember what Justice Scalia said in the D.C. versus Heller opinion. He had a whole section of that opinion where he made the exact point you're making. He said historically, after the Jim Crow laws appeared in the South and after slavery, you know, sort of post-Reconstruction period, turn of the century, the right to keep and bear arms was probably the most important of all the groups in society to African-Americans in the South, where they were facing a situation where they could not count on law enforcement standing by them and protecting them. It's and similarly, someone in a middle of an urban neighborhood today in the urban core, where the police may or may not be there in time, they need the right to keep and bear arms probably more than the person living in the nice, cushy, gated neighborhood in South Johnson County does.
Yeah, I mean, even in downtown old Overland Park, I mean, it's just...
Sure, yeah, you name the place. Yeah, there are neighborhoods all over the KC metro area that have gotten rougher over time.
Yeah, no, and I'm just saying this, I just think it's terrible the way it's being misrepresented, and it has been for 30, 40 years, and the people under the guise of, oh, we're going to be protected, we'll give up our gun rights, all it does is create a bigger and bigger and bigger hellhole, and where people are at risk constantly to illegal activity and to thugs, you know, I really feel for them.
Yep.
That's my comment for the evening. You know, it just...
Yeah, well, hey, I appreciate the call and appreciate the comment, Craig. Thanks for calling the Chris Kobach Show, as always. And next up is Steve in Lee's Summit. Steve, you're on with Chris Kobach. Oh, sorry, we lost Steve. Next up is Michael in Kansas City. Michael, you're on with Chris Kobach.
Hey, how are you? I'm calling from Oak Grove here in Missouri, truck stop. Listen, I wanted to comment about what you had said about Ohio being easy win for Trump. It may not be, and the reason for that is, you know, look at the populace of Ohio, and I know you have, but, you know, it's all a red state with the exception of Toledo, Dayton, Columbus, Cincinnati, Akron, Youngstown. Those are primarily African-American communities. They may vote Democratic, you know, for the freebies and all that stuff, so... Yeah, and New York, I think, are going to be the battleground states for Trump when this comes around. And another thing I'd like to point out about this judicial system and this semantic gymnastics they're putting on the word criminal, I mean, it's just ludicrous. You know, there's social engineering as far as, talking about how everything is so disproportionate with African-Americans in prison and so on and so forth, but according to Eric Holder's Justice Department, Comrade Holder stated that, you know, they're 13% of the population, but yet they create 67% of the crime. So, and it's not the 13%, it's probably more like 3 or 4% of that 13% that creates all the crime. So I think it's very proportionate. I think they should go to jail and serve their time, and I think they should take their cable away and so on and so forth and make them actually serve time and not just take a sabbatical for a couple years out of society. And that being said, I'll flip it back over to you.
Okay, well, thanks, Michael. Yeah, well, hey, let's how about we have a colorblind justice system? I thought that's why we have the blindfold on Lady Justice as she holds the scales of justice. You know, you're not supposed to take the person's color into account, and neither should we when we make Justice Department policy or justice policy at a state level. Justice should be blind, and if you commit a crime, then you pay the penalty. You know, why is that now such an old-fashioned notion to the left that people should be held responsible regardless of their race, apologizing for the criminal? This whole notion, I mean, it started back in the 70s, actually even before that, in the late 60s, with this, you know, this notion that you can't blame, that the criminal is somehow blameless because the criminal must have been a victim of society. And now the Justice Department is shying away from the term criminal. It's just ridiculous. And Michael, as to your point about Ohio, yeah, I don't think Ohio is going to be easy. I didn't mean to imply that, but I do think Trump will win Ohio. You know, Ohio certainly is tough when it comes to the various urban areas in it. But I think the way Hillary is talking, the way she is just kicking coal out the door, and there's some coal interests in Ohio too, she's going to lose enough working class votes that it's going to be tough for her to. Well, not it's going to be doable. She could win Ohio, but the way she is, basically telling working class blue collar voters, hey, you know, you're not as important to our Democratic coalition as you used to be. I think that's dangerous for her in Ohio and in Pennsylvania. And Trump is getting huge support among working class blue collar voters, union members, and non-union members, doesn't matter. He's doing really well, and I think the whole Republican Party needs to take a clue here and say, hey, wait a minute, Trump is reassembling the Reagan Democrat block of votes for the Republican column, and maybe this time we Republicans ought to be smart enough to try to keep that block of voters in the Republican column, because the Democrats are doing them no favors. I mean, take the Keystone XL pipeline deal. The Democrats basically said to the working class man and woman, yeah, you guys can go take a hike because we are now, we regard the environmentalist core of our party to be more important than the working man and woman looking for more jobs. So we're less a party of jobs and less a party of protecting American jobs than we are a party of protecting Gaia, the Mother Earth. And that was another very strong signal to blue collar voters that they're being taken for granted by the Democrat Party. And, boy, Trump's doing a great job of capitalizing on that, and I hope Republicans more generally do so. But anyway, I think that's one of the many reasons why Ohio and Pennsylvania are both definitely in play. And these recent numbers, if you're just joining us, show Trump ahead nationally, 46 to 44. That was a Washington Post-commissioned poll, and the Washington Post itself tried to bury it 200 words or so into its own story. All right, let's talk about this when we return. All of these topics on the table. You can opine here on the Chris Kobach Show at 576-7710, 576-7710, to reach the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
Carson in the morning.
Sometimes abstinence is the way to go.
There's a warning for you. Don't go to a party where there's women.
Yes.
Just stay away from women.
That'd be such a good time in college. Exactly how I envisioned it.
Jared, I like that Whitesnake poster.
Yeah.
Did you get that from your dad?
I bought it on eBay.
You know, you'll never have girls down to your room.
This whole college thing's really working out. I'm thinking about getting a tarantula. That'll really drive the chicks wild.
Carson in the morning. Weekday morning, 6 to 10. Carson in the morning.
Sleepless in Seattle was on TV about 10 days ago or so.
Yeah.
And I would be lying to you if I said that I did not watch 25 minutes of it.
Oh.
It's not bad.
Oh, no.
I know you think that I'm only into
that
a certain type of movie.
That movie is terrible.
No.
Oh, it's awful.
No.
Oh, dear God.
No.
There are some chick flicks that are good.
That one's good.
Is sappy, awful.
That's, no. I think you're confusing Sleepless in Seattle with, like, You've Got Mail.
No.
I mean, once Sleepless in Seattle was a hit, they decided to put Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan in numerous other movies that basically had the exact same plot.
Yeah.
Right? You've Got Mail was terrible.
Yeah.
Sleepless in Seattle was good, though.
See, Harry Met Sally is a great
movie. Yeah, that one's good. Real good.
Sleepless in Seattle, I just thought, was Tom Hanks being coy and cute and the kid egging him on. It just, bleh. It's very saccharine.
I can't believe that this is the riff. This might be the riff that tears our duo apart.
Carson in the morning. Weekday morning, 6 to 10. Carson in the morning.
Dale, welcome to the Carson in the Morning Show. What do you think?
Yeah, I think people could help sponsor the wall. That way we get it paid for. You know, like LifeLock could sponsor a section.
How about Chipotle?
Yeah.
This mile of keeping Mexicans on the other side of the wall brought to you by Ford Motor Company.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And on the other side, they could sponsor it too with all the companies that move there to save money.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dale. Good idea, buddy.
Let's get some natural tie-ins like Durex.
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 Yes.
Nothing gets past our barrier. Right? Tampax Pearl. Tampax Pearl. There will be no flow here. There will be no flow. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
You get natural tie-ins.
Oh, that's perfect.
People that are supposed to have barriers, they would want their name on it.
That is perfect. Oh, that's perfect. And for the water in the Rio Grande, you have the reservoir tip.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have the Trojan man walking up and down the thing on patrol.
Carson in the morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. Carson in the Morning.
The Go Bowling 400, Kyle Busch pulled out the win. Apparently, he took the lead on lap 231 out of 267.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Can't say enough about Interstate. Boss Energy Drink, Toyota, of course, Sprint, and what they do for our sport.
We got to thank the sponsors, right?
Fans, too. And...
All right. I can't. That's the problem with that sport. The sponsorships are out of control. Yeah. What should be an authentic moment.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got to give it up. Man upstairs, also M&M, Coke, Pepsi, Budweiser.
And the fans.
Light.
And the fans.
And my fans. And then my children, also DeWalt, Cobalt.
Valvoline, my lovely wife.
Truex Jr., though, in the lead for almost the entire time, he got passed up by Kyle Busch. Here he is, apoplectic. He looks like he's about to cry.
It's frustrating when you've had it happen so many times in your career. I mean, it's... I swear.
My tears are brought to you by Bass Pro Shop and the Visit Omaha Council.
Carson in the Morning, weekday morning 6 to 10.
Can't get enough of the political drama? Tune to this station to hear the veteran political reporters who can explain all the developments and their impact on you. John Dickerson.
The wiggle room could go either way.
Bob Schieffer.
Something that wouldn't do credit to a group of 10-year-olds out on the playground.
Major Garrett, Nancy Cordes, Stephen Portnoy, and me, Dan Revive. And more. Campaign 2016. The nation elects a new president on this station and CBS Radio News.
KCMO.
As the political season rolls on, keep your radio tuned here and to CBS Radio News for the political news you can trust. Get all the information you need to decide who will be the next president and who will control Congress.
FM 1037 and AM 710. KCMO. KCMO.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Follow us as we live tweet all weekend from Waldo's Hot Fest to Smoke 'em for the Troops at Outlaw Cigar Company. You can follow Jared the producer at Jared L. Carter and me at Rob Carson. See you Monday.
Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Okay, turning the page one more time before the end of the show, I want to report some good news. And this you won't read about in the Kansas City Red Star or in any of the left-wing rags that pose as newspapers around this part of the country. And that is that there was a great decision issued by a great judge. I've argued in front of this judge. In fact, I'm awaiting an order from him as well. A U.S. District Court Judge Richard Leon, who... and is a federal district court judge in that it has its own district there. Anyway, he ruled Tuesday that he issued a preliminary injunction that stops enforcement of the restrictive Washington, D.C. gun law. And you might be saying, wait, wasn't that struck down by the Supreme Court? Yes, the law that existed in 2008. Well, the Heller decision, the District of Columbia had to allow homeowners and people in, people outside of their home to have the ability to obtain and maintain a firearm in firing condition. One of the ridiculous parts of the law before Heller was that if you had a gun, to basically keep it inoperable and have it partially. Anyway, Judge Richard Leon issued a great opinion stating in his ruling, I'll just quote a couple of sentences out of it. Quote, in Heller, the Supreme Court unequivocally asserted that the enshrinement of constitutional rights necessarily takes certain policy choices. The district overly zealous. The district's understandable but overly zealous desire to restrict the right to carry in public a firearm for self-defense to the smallest number of law-abiding responsible citizens is exactly the type of policy choice the justices had in mind. Because the right to bear arms includes the right to carry a firearm in and outside, I find that the district's good reason requirement likely unconstitutional burden on this right. End quote. And so he has issued a preliminary injunction pending final ruling that suspends the D.C. good reason requirement. And basically that means that you had to have, they created this
overly burdensome law where if you wanted a concealed carry permit, DC resident, had no bureaucrats that you had, quote, good reason, end quote. Their satisfaction that you really, really needed it. And they weren't like to give you because, according to numbers reported by the Daily Caller in September 2015, up to that point in that calendar year, there had been 206 applicants to the D.C. Metro Police Department and only 44 concealed carry permits issued to those 200. You're talking roughly 20% of the applicants, a little over 20%, were getting these permits. And that good reason notion is kind of ridiculous. And Judge Leon said that violates the Second Amendment in the wake of Heller. Now, of course, if Judge Leon's decision is appealed to the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia and goes to the Supreme Court, it with the current Supreme Court, it will be 4-4. And if a justice is appointed by Donald Trump, it will almost certainly go in favor of the gun owner. If a justice is appointed by Hillary Clinton, it will almost certainly go the other way. The wording of the Second Amendment couldn't be clearer. The gun owner is protected. It should be a 9-0 decision in favor of the gun owner. I say this as a former professor of constitutional law. I mean, the wording is so crystal clear in the Second Amendment. It is an individually held right, and you cannot, there's no other right where you have to ask Mother, may I before I exercise it? We don't say that your right to exercise your religion, you have to go ask the government for a permit, and they only have to allow you to pray. Reason to attend your church, Mr. Kobach. You seem to be doing very well in life. There's nothing you need to pray for. No, we're not going to allow you. That would be ridiculous. You don't say that you have to have a good reason to have property rights. We don't say that you have to have a good reason. Oh, certainly for the invisible right to an abortion, which the liberals find in the Constitution, have a good reason to get the abortion. In the District of Columbia, it's perfectly constitutional to say you have to show bureaucrats in the government that you have a good reason to exercise your Second Amendment right before we will allow you to exercise it. And thank goodness Judge Richard Leon was assigned to the case. He has issued a preliminary injunction striking down that aspect of the new D.C. gun law. So stay tuned to that one. Great news for the Second Amendment, but it just shows, unfortunately, how fragile our gun rights are. If this had gone to a more liberal judge, and there are, you know, Judge Leon is just interpreting the words of the Constitution in their plain meaning, and he's interpreting how Heller clearly interprets the Second Amendment. It's cut and paste. It's cut and dried. I mean, you can see what the obvious conclusion is, and he's reporting. But an activist judge will say, no, I don't think it's a good thing in today's America. We need to scale it back. And that's what the liberals do. They don't apply the law as written or the Constitution as written. They rewrite it. So anyway, thank goodness Judge Leon was assigned to that case. And we will have to stay tuned. Court of Appeals goes. And depending on who is appointed president, that will determine how the amendment goes. Important rights that we as a people is at stake in this presidential election. I am not overstating. I am not exaggerating. An amendment at stake. We will be able to keep a court system that protects our Second Amendment. If Hillary Clinton is elected, Second Amendment will be a hollow shell of its former self within a few years. All right, you've been listening to the Chris Kobach Show. Tune in.
What is it about buying a mattress that leaves you feeling violated? Is it the pushy salespeople, the fake President's Day sale, or the fact that you know you'll regret what you bought as you do the walk of shame out of the mattress store? I'm here to tell you, those days are over. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, co-founder of Helix Sleep, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we create your custom sleep profile to build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Your mattress will arrive at your door.
FM 103.7 and AM 710. KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.